Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Father, we are so glad for your presence here this morning. We're thankful for the prayers you have answered. We are thankful, O God, that you hear us, that you love us. We thank you that you're all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, Lord. Thank you this morning, God, that you're here with us. You know, Lord, where we've been, where we're going. You know the difficulties of the journey. I pray for your grace and the anointing of the Lord this morning to help me to preach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach this morning on the church that prays together. In my text, we witness the response of this infant church to the threats of the authorities in Israel. The apostles, Peter and John in particular, have been commanded by the authorities not to speak nor teach in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus has been banned from the public square by this command. But the apostles have spoken their unyielding commitment to the proclamation of the gospel, saying, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. When they were released by the authorities, they went to their own company, the Christians who shared their commitment to Christ. And they reported to their brethren this prohibition that had been issued by the authorities, is that they were not to speak nor preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And the church, the character of that early church, is seen in their response. And I want to show you in three movements in my text, the prayer, the power, and the proclamation. First of all, we notice the prayer. And I want you to notice this as well, that there are no defections, no regressions, no backslidings recorded as a result of this new danger that Peter and John report to their brethren. Nobody says, hey, we better cool it. We better back off. We better quieten down. There's danger out there. We've been threatened. Nobody defected in this church, as far as we know, in the face of the danger that they faced. Nobody decided that obedience to Christ cost too much. And so this early church demonstrated an unyielding commitment to Christ in the face of danger. And I think it's also important to note that after hearing this prohibition against the proclamation of Jesus, that the church didn't set up a committee to study this case and weigh their options. To them, disobedience to Christ was not an option. And so for them, given a choice between resisting the authorities or resisting the Holy Ghost, they will resist the authorities whatever it costs them. So instead of sinking into depression, in a state of despair, the church held a prayer meeting, spontaneous prayer meeting. I don't read anybody saying, hey, let's pray. They just, when they heard this news, they broke out into a prayer meeting. The Bible says when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They broke out into a prayer meeting. Now, these early Christians, they didn't feel uncomfortable or out of place in a public prayer meeting. These prayer meetings were a regular part of the life of the church. This church was filled with the Holy Ghost in a prayer meeting. And they were praying on the day of Pentecost, praising God when the Lord sent the power of the Holy Ghost upon them. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 24, verses 52 and 53, that after Christ ascended back into heaven, the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. They were praying. According to Acts 1:14, there's 120 in the upper room, continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, when 3,000 were saved on the day of Pentecost, it was said about these converts that they continued steadfastly in prayers. And in Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, the thing that caused all of this problem in the first place was Peter and John were on their way to the temple at the hour of prayer. So it was not unusual for these Christians to pray and pray together. They prayed as naturally as people breathe. When they received the bad news from Peter and John, they lifted up their voices unto God. They had a spontaneous prayer meeting. The prayer of this early church would have failed miserably if they had prayed a disjointed prayer with every individual having his own agenda, praying for his own interest. But the prayers of this early church prevailed because they prayed in one accord. The scriptures say when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. That is, in one mind. They prayed in harmony. They prayed in a symphony of prayer. There was no discord among them, no doubting the faithfulness of God. Jesus had said in Matthew 18 and 19, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. If any two of you shall agree. This is the one mind, the one accord, the praying in harmony, the praying in a symphony of prayer with no discord and no doubting of the faithfulness of God. I'm telling you, that kind of prayer has an effect on heaven, brother, when our minds and hearts are together and we're praying not for our individual agendas, but for the good of the cause of Jesus Christ and the building of the kingdom of God. In our modern day, we've got two difficulties. One, motivating believers to pray. To pray at home, to pray at church with each other and for each other. And secondly, we have trouble producing agreement in prayer. a symphony of prayer. No disharmony. All praying for God's glory. All praying for the good of God's kingdom. All praying in the will of God. All petitioning and praising with fervency and faith, because it is the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. And so, in the minds of most modern Christians, praying together is not all that important. So husbands and wives never pray together. And parents and children never pray together. And therefore it is no mystery when there is no praying together among professing Christians. In years past, there was a song, I looked it up. I remembered it, but I didn't remember who sang it, but it was the Leuven Brothers. Is that what you say? What you say? The Leuven Brothers? They sang a song. It went something like this. The family who prays will never be parted. The circle in heaven unbroken shall stand. God will say, enter, my good faithful servant. For the family that prays never shall part. The family that prays together stays together. And the same is true for the church. The church that prays together stays together. The church does not pray together falls apart. But I'll tell you something. There ain't no way you can mistreat somebody when you are praying every day for God to bless them. No way that you can mistreat somebody when you're praying for the benefit and well-being of that person. I'm telling you, brother, it makes a difference when people pray together. Now you note the request made by this church in this prayer. They ask for two primary favors. Number one, they ask for boldness to speak the word of God. And number two, they ask for signs and wonders to be done in the name of Jesus. Two things that they pray for. God, give us boldness to speak the word of God. The authorities have told us we can't speak in the name of Jesus. Give us boldness to speak the word of God. And Lord, just like you healed that lame man at the beautiful gate, give us signs and wonders to confirm the word that is preached. You notice they did not pray for relief from the pressure of their prohibition. They asked for strength to obey in spite of this prohibition. They requested boldness. Now let me tell you something about boldness. Boldness is the result of being right and knowing it. Do you hear me? I said boldness is the result of being right and knowing it. Boldness is produced by conviction. Men without conviction are jellyfish. But these men prayed for boldness. They prayed for an assurance in their heart that the gospel they were preaching was true. And they were so convinced that it was true, they were willing to die for this. God gave them boldness, the certainty of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Men are bold when they're certain. Men are bold when they're sure. Men are bold when they're right and they know it. These early Christians chose danger over disgrace. Men without convictions are cautious instead of courageous, and they prefer compromise and over conflict. But when a man is bold, when he's right, he knows he's right. He has the word of God backing him up. He has the Spirit of God testifying to his heart that he's right. I'm telling you, brother, there's a boldness in that when you know you're right. Praise God. And you've got the truth, and men need to know the truth. There's a boldness when you've got this assurance and this conviction in your heart that you're right and you know it. Church, Martinsville Church of Truth, I want you to pray like this church prayed. God, give us boldness. Boldness to proclaim the Word of God. Boldness to be a witness for Jesus. Pray for boldness, church. Pray for Holy Ghost boldness. Boldness to obey God. Boldness to speak for God. Pray that we'll be men and women of conviction. Conviction that the Bible is the Word of God. That Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus rose from the dead. And that He's coming back again. God, give us conviction that hell is as real as heaven. And that grace not only forgives sin, but grace delivers from the power of sin. I'm telling you, in order for us to have this same boldness that they have, we must have conviction of the truth. But they didn't just pray for boldness. They prayed for miracles. They were praying for continued confirmation of the Word by mighty miracles in the name of Jesus. The miracles served to spark faith in the sinner, and it frustrated the opposition of unbelievers. When the lame man at the beautiful gate was healed, his presence with the apostles frustrated the authorities. They couldn't deny, they said, that a notable miracle had taken place in the name of Jesus. And they could say nothing against it. It frustrated the authorities that here was a man healed as evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they could say nothing against it. And they could not deny that a miracle had been done in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray, church. Pray, church. Pray. Pray for signs and wonders to be done in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray for God to confirm His Word. David prayed and said, it is time for Thee to work, O Lord, for they have made void Thy law. The world is scoffing and mocking, and God can still do miracles to shut the mouth of unbelievers, brother. Pray, church. Pray for boldness. Pray, church, for signs and wonders in the name of Jesus Christ. Secondly, the power. Notice in verse 31 of my text, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the Word of God with boldness. Look at the power that was poured out upon this church. God answered the prayer of this church with a supernatural sign and an infilling of the Holy Ghost. God shook the place where they were assembled. I'm telling you, the intensity of God's presence made that house tremble. Oh my, that was a physical sign of the power of God. That place was shaken, brother. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. But of greater importance, God filled them all with the Holy Ghost. They'd been filled on the day of Pentecost, but they received a refilling in this prayer meeting. They were facing opposition. They were facing danger. They needed boldness. And the Holy Ghost would provide boldness. take away any tendency to shrink from the path of Christian duty. The Holy Ghost filled them and gave them the boldness to fulfill the commission Christ had given to them. I'm telling you, everybody in this assembly this morning, hear me, everybody in this assembly today needs either to be filled or to be refilled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody here, everybody in this place, you either need to be filled with the Holy Ghost or you need to be refilled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I say God will do it if we'll get down to business like this church did and pray in one accord. God will fill us and refill us with the Holy Ghost and give us the boldness to be the people of God that's needed in this generation. Pray, church. Pray. Pray for the Holy Ghost to fall on us. Pray for us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The church that prays together can be filled together. You hear me? I said the church that prays together can be filled together. You notice in my text, in verse 31, it says that when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Every one of them in that house was filled with the Holy Ghost. All of them were filled. I'm telling you, God don't want to leave nobody out. Everybody in this place either needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost or refilled with the Holy Ghost. And God don't want to leave nobody out, I'm telling you. If we'll get down to business with God, God will pour out His Spirit upon us. Power in the church is due to the presence of the Holy Ghost. The activity of the Holy Ghost will produce obedience in the face of danger. You hear me? I said the presence of the Holy Ghost will produce obedience even in the face of danger. We see that in this church. In the proclamation, verse 31. They're all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness. And in verse 33, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. It was the power of the Holy Ghost. This church continued to proclaim that very message that enraged the authorities in the beginning. They proclaimed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the church that prays together will proclaim the name of Jesus together. And we see that in this early church. They continued to proclaim that forbidden name. They continued to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, church. Pray, church. Will you pray? Pray, church. Pray that the Martinsville Church of Truth will be faithful in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray for God to make you and me a better witness for Jesus. Pray that God will help us to recommend Jesus to our family and to our friends. Pray that God will help us, that we'll have the boldness to say, there is no other way to the pearly gate but through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Pray that God will help us to lift up the name of Jesus in this generation. Pray that God will help us not to be silent in the face of the hostility of the world. Pray, church, pray. Pray that God will help us to be faithful witnesses for Jesus in this generation. Pray, church. Oh, glory to God. I tell you what, if God can get us in one mind, one accord, if God will help us to see what's important to heaven, if God will help us and we'll understand, you know, the trifling things we pray for, Oh, my. When there's a world lost and dying and perishing. Oh, God. I heard a message by an independent Baptist preacher who was dead now. What's his name? Ed Ballou. And Ed Ballou was telling, he said, somebody came and asked me one time to pray for their poodle dog. He said, I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to pray for your poodle dog. There's so much other things to pray for, so much greater things to pray for. I'm not praying for your poodle dog, he said. He told about a woman that came to his service and he was praying. He was preaching on prayer, definite praying. And she come up to him after service and said, preacher, I'm going to start doing that. Instead of just praying in general terms, God bless everybody, bless the world, bless this, bless that. She said, I'm going to start praying some definite prayers. My husband's lost. He don't never come to church. My son has quit coming to church with me and stays at home with my husband. I'm going home, preacher, and I'm going to start praying a definite prayer for God to save my husband and save my son. She went home, husband and son sitting in the living room watching television. She says, I'm going in the room here, closing the door, don't bother me. She went in her bedroom and started praying. She prayed. After a while, her son went and opened the door. Heard her in there praying for him, praying for daddy. He shut the door quietly, went back to daddy, said, daddy, mama's in there praying. She's in there praying for us. Well, after a while, time went on. She's in there praying. He goes and checks on her again. She's laying on her face on the floor. She's crying out to God, save my husband. Save my son. They're lost. They're going to hell. And the boy goes back and tells his daddy, daddy, mama's laying down on the floor. And she's praying for us. Time went on. Getting around midnight. Son goes back to check on her again. This time she's laying on her back. Hands up in the air. She's praying. Save my husband. Save my son. They're on their way to hell. They got to get right with God. He closed the door, went and said, daddy, come here. Went and opened the door and said, look, daddy. And heard her praying. It bothered him. Oh, it bothered him. He heard his son snuffing. They went back to the living room. The devil said, turn the TV up so you won't have to listen to that. 1 o'clock came. 1 o'clock in the morning, she's still praying. 2 o'clock in the morning, she's still praying. 3 o'clock in the morning, father looked at his son. He said, son, I can't stand it no more. He went and opened the bedroom door and sat down beside his wife laying on the floor. Took her head and put it in his lap. He said, honey, I don't know exactly how to go about this, but I want to get right with God. And God saved her husband and saved her son. And about 4 or 5 o'clock, they're still shouting the victory around the house. I'm telling you, God wants to hear some definite praying out of me and you. You hear me? I said, God wants to hear some definite praying out of me and you. He wants to hear us praying about more than the scratch on our arm. He wants to hear us praying about eternal things. God wants to hear us praying about things that matter to God, a soul to perishing, that the church needs the power of God, needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Pray, church. Right now, while Sister Judy comes to the piano, I want you to pray, church. I want you to pray. Oh, glory. I want you to come to this altar and pray. I want you to pray, God, give us boldness. I want you to pray, God, give us miracles. I want you to pray, God, help me to be filled with the Holy Ghost or refilled with the Holy Ghost. Whichever category you fit in, I'm telling you, you're one or the other. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost or you need to be refilled with the Holy Ghost. And God wants to do it right here this morning in this service. Oh, God. May we be the church that prays together. Praise together.